will be looking on the subject, Fear Not. Fear Not. There is a chance that it will be either a 2 or 3 part lesson. The study of this statement is enlightening and encouraging and challenging because, as will be pointed out further also, the statement "Fear Not" occurs some 100 or more times in the entire Bible. Old and New Testament. Among the things that you will be encouraged to notice is the varied situation under which the statement was made. Quite interesting. And for the many times angel, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, his prophet, had used this term, make this statement, we probably could be looking on the subject in sermons for the next many months. But as I've said, hopefully we'll have at least 2 or 3 lessons. Fear not. Fear. Much of today's lesson will be on the subject of helping us to understand fear better, so that we can analyze ourselves and our fears and try to ascertain if our fears are founded, and if they are in fact healthy fear. Fear is, as I've said, I'm not sure if we will get to the subject today, because the way I plan to look at it is just take up passages where it is used and look and analyze the ramification, the substance of what that text is saying. One text in the New Testament, this statement was made in respect to what the very presence, the very holiness of God can do to us. So, God's angel have to say to God's servant, fear not. Fear, as I said, is arose by danger. That danger might be real or it might be perceived. Because a lot of times, the things that haunt us are not real. Our perceptions sometimes deceive us. We must remember that. And for many thousands, millions of men and women, what they perceive is their reality. A lot of people, if they perceive that a thing is happening for them, it is real. In fact, in a few minutes, I will say a few more statements in respect to that. Fear is the impulse to escape or to run away. That's what fear does in us. You want to escape or you want to run away. Fear is caused by the prospect or the likelihood of loss. Loss of love. Loss of possession. Loss of health. Loss of self-esteem. Loss of life. And many other things that we are afraid of losing, or we are afraid if this and this happen, what the consequences for us will be. Fear. Fear is fed, and it is encouraged or diminished. Let me make sure that we get this. Fear is fed and is encouraged, or on the other side, it is diminished by the feeling of adequacy or inadequacy. Very important. That is the feeling of ability or inability. Explain, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me to do that. A lot of the fears that we suffer from is the feeling that whatever we see coming, we do not have the wherewithal to deal with it. You see, I'm talking about adequacy or inadequacy. Our ability, our inability. I might use something, find something as illustration, but let me repeat. Lack of the fears we suffer from comes because when we look down tomorrow, what we think will happen, or next week, or a year from now, we do not see how we are going to meet what is coming. Either we do not have the knowledge to deal with it, we do not have the finance to deal with it, or we do not have the skill or whatever to deal with it. Let me explain. If you have been going to a doctor for the past 10, 15 years, and the doctor, all the health challenge you face, the doctor has brought you through. Every time you come up with some ailment that might be serious, you go to the doctor prescribed medicine, you discover you got better. But now you are told that you are ill and that you have some serious illness. You know what? Because of your positive experience with that doctor, you feel that you have the wherewithal to deal with that illness. Because that doctor, over the past many years, every time you go to him or her, they come through successfully. Now that you have some health challenge, the faith in that doctor, the confidence, will make you not so afraid of whatever faces you. I have told you when I was going to school, even though I was taller, bigger than most of my peers in my age group, I didn't like to get in fights. You know, children fight at school. The school that I went, or the two or three school, was no less. But I don't like fight. I'll walk away from a fellow that was much smaller than I am. And when they were older than I am, I wasn't so much afraid either if Herbie Blagrove was on campus. Truly. He's older, well, he's alive. He's older than I am. We are from the same district, Scott Pass, and walk to school in Poros. Most days when I was at school, he was there in a higher class. But if you're a bigger, older boy and come to challenge me, even though I'm not, well, at that time, was not a contentious person. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, I'm glad you say at that time. I wasn't afraid because of this Herbie. What is the point? Our feeling of adequacy, ableness or inadequacy, and ableness determines a lot of the fear that we suffer from. Are we all there? Fear is twofold. There is the fear of darkened, D-A-R-K-E-N-E-D. There is the fear of darkened anxiety and fear that makes us negative and make us hopeless. That's one fear. And a lot of people suffer from that fear. Why you use the word darkened, Brother Mitchell? Because it is a fear that is sort of thoughtless. They are just afraid of almost anything. They have never thought it out. Why am I afraid of this? Look in the book of Proverbs. I think it is 28 verse 1.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
You get that? Everybody get that? the wicked man run when nobody's running him or her down. And that is a fact. There are some people who are just fearful. They are always looking over their shoulder. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have Jesus Christ on our side. And to have the Word of God guiding our lives. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. In a few minutes, I'm going to show you that this type of fear that comes out of that darkened anxiety, an anxiety that is not thought out. In a few minutes, I'm going to show that this is what, in fact, it is the breeding ground for Obia and witchcraft. Everything that happened to some people is their neighbor walk Obia upon them. That's right. You know, thank God again for the Word of God. fear, let us still look into the subject of fear. So, we have just looked on the fact that fear is twofold. There is the fear of darkness, anxiety, and fear that makes us negative and hopeless. And there is also the fear of enlightened, thoughtful caution. Enlightened, thoughtful caution, which directs us to take caution in reference to approaching danger or evil. This is intelligent fear. This is healthy fear. Describe it again, Brother Mitchell. Well, over the next 2-3 weeks, we'll be talking about this type of fear. Let me describe it. As I said, there is the fear of enlightened, thoughtful caution, which directs us to take caution in reference to approaching evil or approaching danger. This type of fear is spoken about throughout the Bible. I hope I will remember today to, you know, somebody down there might be saying, Brother Mitchell, the Bible says we must fear, and the Bible says we must not fear. I'm confused. You need not be confused. In a few seconds or minute, I'll be among passages that will be coming up, is where we are told in the book of Timothy that the Almighty God has not given the Christian, his people, the spirit of fear. Huh? There will be other passages like in the book of St. John where Jesus Christ does not want us to be fearful people. Then we'll be looking at other passage which seems to contradict that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But you see, that fear of the Lord, there is healthy fear. Intelligent fear. Now, let us look on some passages which talk about fear. Job 28:28. Psalms 111, verse 10. Proverbs 1:7. Let us hear those passages. Let us hear them. Job 28:28, Psalms 111, verse 10, Proverbs 1:7, Philippians 2:12, Hebrews 11:7. Let us hear those passages. Those passages are dealing with the fear of enlightened, thoughtful caution, which direct us to take caution in reference to approaching evil or approaching danger. Let us hear it.
And unto man he said,
and unto man he said,
behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
You get it? So here the Bible is encouraging a type of fear. A kind of fear, the fear of the Lord. When a man or woman reverence God, respect God, fear God, you are on the road to being wise. Because the other statement in the passage show what this fear will direct you to do. Read it again.
And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom.
Uh-huh.
and to depart from evil.
When a man or a woman reverence, fear the Almighty God, you will want to correct your life. Huh? You will want to give up the practice of evil and practice what is right and holy. So that is the wise fear. That was Proverbs 28:28, Psalms 111, verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Isn't it striking? Huh? Watch here. The book of Job was written in some between 1800 BC to probably 2000 BC. That's the book of Job. The book of Psalms was written somewhere between 800, 900 and 800 BC. Yet both inspired writers are saying the same thing. Because it is a fact that the fear of God is a wise thing. Huh? And we must learn that. That was Psalms 111, verse 10. Now, let us hear Proverbs, the wise man Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Y'all hear that? And Solomon is saying the same thing. Huh? It's something that we need to learn. To fear and reverence God is a wise thing. Because the opposite has terrible consequences. Let us hear Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 and Hebrews 11:7. All these fears that we are read about over the past few minutes are proper, intelligent, right, healthy fear. Let us hear Philippians.
Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed,
not only in my,
not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence.
Read.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Watch it. I was watching TV sometime this past week, and the news was telling the changes which have taken place in legislation and attitude and practice in the U.S. It was in reference to the home, marriage, man and woman relationship. And one of the prominent persons, I don't know if she was a judge or a lawyer, but she was alarmed over the amount of change that have taken place. And what comes to me is that human beings who do not understand would change up God's word. Take the subject we have just read here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Theologian, in order to get out fearful fear from the Christian religion, will emphasize that fear means reverence. And it means that. But it also means dread. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is the dreadful fear. We have reason to fear God in a trembling way. Amen. Let us hear Hebrews 11:7.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God.
By faith, when Noah was directed by God, warned of God, instructed by God.
Of things not seen as
of
yet.
Of things not seen as yet.
Moved.
That is, there was never a flood like that before. What he did?
Moved with fear. Prepared an ark.
That's right. Noah didn't doubt and say, but we never see rain like that. He moved with fear and prepared the ark. But notice, he moved with fear. Are we all there? Fear all these that we have looked on. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Philippians, and just now Hebrews. All these are talking, these passages are talking about healthy, intelligent fear, good fear. Fear of darkness, thoughtless anxiety is not of Christ or Christianity. The fear that makes us always be looking over our shoulder, the fear that comes from our perception, those fear are not healthy fear. It's not from Christ. And it is not of Christianity. Are we there? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love.
Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? The Christian, we were not meant by God to be prawny people. We live all our lives in fear and timidity and lack of confidence and doubt. That is not what Christianity is about. He has not given us the disposition or the spirit of fear, but of what, brother?
Of power.
Power!
And of love.
And of love. Love is a positive thing.
And of
sound mind. You must bear that in mind. That was Philippians chapter 2. Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let us look at St. John 14 and verse 27. Romans 8, 15. Let us hear it.
Peace I leave with you.
Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you.
My peace I give unto you.
May I? You are well aware, I think all of us know that fear disrupts peace. You cannot have peace of mind if fear occupies our mind. So Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you.
My peace I give unto you.
My peace I give unto you.
Not as the world giveth.
Not as the world giveth.
Give I unto you.
Give I unto you.
Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid.
You all hear that? Don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid. Because we have an enabler. That's right. Always remember, lot of our fears come as a result of feeling of inadequacy. We don't have the wherewithal. For example, if all the financial situation you have faced, and some of them were terrible, you have that uncle who love you, care for you. Not only he love you and care for you, he has the wherewithal. And he always come to your aid when you face problems. And remember that uncle that he loves you, he cares for you, and he has the wherewithal. You won't be afraid. Jesus Christ said, my peace I leave with you. Skip Romans. Let us hear Hebrews. I like Hebrews 2:15. Let us hear it.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
You get the drift here? The passage here is teaching that fear is slavery. The passage here is teaching that this thoughtless fear of anxiety, fear and anxiety, it is slavery. And my God, so many of us, we live in a type of slavery. Read the passage again.
And deliver them who through fear.
Jesus Christ came to deliver us. That is the men and women who responded to the grace of God in Christ. Christ is a deliverer from the bondage of fear. This one specified the type of fear. And you know, it is striking that almost everybody is afraid of death. The passage wasn't saying that's the only fear from which men suffer. But it pinpoints one that literally all of us are afraid of. Read it again.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime suffering.
All their lifetime. Ooh, you get it? Men and women who do not know Jesus Christ, who have not accepted Jesus Christ, who have not turned their lives over to Him, who have not participated in the hope that Christ represents, they are living in slavery. The slavery of fear. While there are many other fears that they suffer, but the fear of death, and rightly so, when a man lives and thinks of death, he has no idea, no enlightenment in respect to what he or she going to meet down there in the grave, or what comes after that, after death what? My God, that man or woman must find death a terror. God knows that because He has just said it, that Christ come to deliver us from that type of fear. In Jesus Christ, there is hope for a glorious resurrection. Come to deliver them who all their lives, not just some of their lives, they live in fear of death. Are we all there? The healthy fear of enlightened, thoughtful caution is a biological asset in our struggle for survival. I said biological. But I'm not true. So let me start again. The fear, the healthy fear of enlightened, thoughtful caution is a biological asset in our struggle for survival, and it is also a spiritual asset in our effort to accept and benefit from the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So this faith, or rather fear of enlightened caution. What enlightened caution, Brother Mitchell? Because you are enlightened, you can take steps to protect yourself, both in this life and to secure your eternal peace. So this year is an asset both here and hereafter. Unhealthy fear. Are we all there? The fear of darkened anxiety. Faithless fear. That type of fear is incapacitate us. That type of fear, it blinds us. That type of fear, it weakens us. That type of fear undermines our confidence. That type of fear makes us timid and pessimistic. That type of fear, blind fear, it breeds and it encourages failure. Are we all there? Remember, I pointed out in the beginning of the lesson that fear and suspicion is the breeding ground for obia and witchcraft. That's a fact. When we make our perception, our reality, we are in problem. And we do it in a thousand different ways. Anything I perceive or think to be so, it is so. So you find before long the few dollars you have saved under the mattress to buy your children's school book, to provide some lunch money, because your mind tells you that your neighbor doing you something, you run to a obia man or obia woman. Or you take other evil steps that they don't protect you. All they do, they undermine your wallet and everything else. Thank God for Christianity. And for those who will study, know, believe, and accept the teachings of Jesus Christ. I told you that today we will deal only with understanding fear. A few more statements and the lesson will be yours. Fear not is the characteristic statement of the entire Bible. Fear not in the different forms that it is expressed in this form. Fear not. It occurs over 100 times in the Bible. Strikingly, it occurs in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, more than any other Old Testament book. Noting that Isaiah is the messianic prophet. And Jesus Christ almost made this one of his favorite statements. We'll be looking more in this next week. But as I said, fear not is the characteristic statement of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Fear not is first used in the book of Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. That's the first time, if my memory serves me right, that you have this statement, fear not. Revelation 15 and verse 1. And from there onward, you're going to meet up on God or His angel or His prophet, telling God's people, you do not have any reason to fear, even though you face fearful situation, because God is able. Genesis 15:1. That's right. That's the passage. What did I say? Okay, brother. I tell you that it takes more than one person to preach a sermon. Thank you. So as we wrap up, in the different forms that fear not takes, it is God's constant assurance to His people throughout the history of God dealing with man. That's why you find in this form, fear not, you're going to find it some 100 or more times in the entire Bible. The Almighty God over and over again giving assurance to His people. God is well aware of the many fearful things and situations which confront us, and how easy it is for us to become fearful, timid, and also how easy it is for us to be incapacitated by our fear. We will pick up here next week when now we look on one or two places where this statement, in fact, I think one of the first texts we are going to be examining is where that statement was used by Jesus Christ to bring encouragement to a person who had reason to fear. All of us are afraid of something or the other. Jesus Christ is saying to the Christian, fear not. If Christ said it, you can believe it, you can accept it. If you're here today, there is a passage that we look at, found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 15. Just quickly, brother, as the brother look for his invitation song. Hebrews chapter 15, chapter 2 and verse 15.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Jesus Christ is here to deliver you from your fear. You will notice that the passage implies that an acceptance of Jesus Christ comes before that deliverance, or is a part of that deliverance.
Amen.
That's right. Whatever you are afraid of, Jesus Christ can allay your fears. But you have to turn your life over to Him. Today, this morning, Jesus Christ is alive and well, and He wants to deliver you from your fear. Not only the fear of death. Jesus Christ wants the Christian to understand that whatever the evil, the wickedness, the danger that we confront, Jesus Christ is able. And if you are a man or woman who have not yet given your life to Christ, there is no better time than now. And we are encouraging you to come. Come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Come believing that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sin that you could not pay. That's how terrible sin is. As a sinner, if you were able to give 1,000 life like yours, you will still end up at square one with your sin still there to condemn you. A sinner cannot pay the price for his or her sin, whatever that sinner does. So Jesus Christ paid the price. You must now show that you appreciate the price paid by responding to the grace of God that is available in Christ. What's your question? Mr. Mitchell, how do I respond? You respond, to be general, you respond in faith and obedience. I'm general there. Let me be more specific. You respond through faith, and that is believing that Jesus Christ is the only person who can address your sin problem, who can forgive you, who can have you cleansed from sin. You must believe that. You must believe that He is the Son of God and that He went to Calvary. And then you must obey Him in repentance, in baptism, in confessing His name, with a resolution to coming from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life with Christ. Today, right now, you can do that. Jesus Christ has come to deliver you from that which affects all of us. For some of us, more so than others, fear. Christ has come to deliver us. Give Him the chance now as we stand. Five hundred and sixty-two.